Hello everyone, it's good to be with you again. Today we're looking at the miracle of Jesus walking on the water in John chapter 6 and the significance of that for the disciples and also for us in our day. We begin in the Old Testament as we turn to Exodus chapter 33, starting at verse 18. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." And then John chapter 6, starting at verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. One of the problems with the miracles of Jesus is that we tend to focus on the act or the event itself rather than the purpose. Whenever we read the Bible and we see Jesus doing something amazing, we need to learn to stop ourselves and to ask why. Jesus had a purpose for everything that he said and everything that he did, including his miracles. And in John's Gospel in particular, they are called signs. And what do signs do? They point us to something. First and foremost, the signs and miracles of Jesus point us to who he is. He is God. Each time Jesus performed a miracle, it was yet another sign or affirmation of his divinity. And in this particular instance, in John chapter 6, the disciples were still unsure of just who Jesus really was. They were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And in Mark's account of the same episode, we're told that this was during the fourth watch of the night, which means it was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And the storm that they found themselves rowing through is a picture of the storm and the darkness which was going on in their hearts and in their minds. The disciples were still confused about the miracle of Jesus feeding the crowd of 5,000, which had happened just before this. They understood that Jesus miraculously broke loaves of bread so that hungry people would be satisfied, but they had yet to understand that Jesus himself was the bread of life, and that he himself must be broken so that hungry souls would be satisfied. They understood that Jesus had power, but they had yet to understand that he was power. They knew that Jesus was from God, but they had yet to grasp the reality that Jesus himself was God. And so they found themselves in danger. There was the external danger of the storm, but that was just a picture of the internal danger of not really knowing Jesus. Their physical struggle to make headway through the storm was a picture of their spiritual struggle in trying to grasp who Jesus really is. The disciples were with Jesus. They were witnesses of his works and his teachings, but they were still missing who he really was. And in a very real sense, we are in a similar danger. We can be involved in the life and the work of the church, but at the same time not really know Jesus and who he is. Worship services, fellowship groups, home groups, Bible studies, outreach programs, all of these things are good, but there is a way for us to be involved in those things without ever really getting to know Jesus himself. So is it possible that we are serving Christ? We know about him, but we don't really know him. So metaphorically, we're in the boat with the disciples, trying to make headway through the storm. But then in the midst of the disciples not understanding and their hearts being darkened, Jesus walked on the water towards them. They were physically drained from rowing against the wind and the waves, but they were also spiritually drained from their lack of understanding fully just who Jesus was. So why did Jesus walk on the water? We know he had a purpose behind everything that he did. He did so in order to show them his divinity. They needed to know that he was God in all the fullness of his glory. And Jesus here was answering the question which the disciples asked the last time they were in a boat and caught in a storm and were afraid for their lives. On that particular occasion, Jesus was in the boat. They woke him up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And the question they asked was, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And now here, in John chapter 6, Jesus answers that question. "It is I." In the original Greek text, Jesus uses two words, ego eimi. Now we've lost much of the significance of Jesus' answer by translating his declaration into English. Jesus wasn't merely identifying himself to his disciples. But when he said ego eimi, he was saying, "I am." And this takes us all the way back to Moses' conversation with the Lord at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And so here in John chapter 6, Jesus is declaring that he is the God of the Old Testament. When Jesus walked on the water, he wasn't merely giving them some arbitrary demonstration of his power. He was revealing his divine glory to the disciples, just as God did for Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Just as God proclaimed his name as I am, so Jesus proclaims his name as I am. So Jesus walked on the water to reveal his divinity. And when you look at what God does for Moses in Exodus and what Jesus does for his disciples here, it is remarkably similar. But there's also an important difference, which we'll get onto in a moment. Both Moses and the disciples were shown God's glory and his divinity. God revealed the glory of his divinity to Moses, even though Moses had his doubts. Jesus revealed his divinity to the disciples, even when they were unbelieving and their hearts were darkened. And that is such good news for us. Because sometimes we think the only way that God will draw near to us is when we're living in perfect faith and obedience, if we're reading our Bibles every day, if we are sharing the gospel with others and not sinning. But Jesus crosses any barrier to meet us, not just when we're living in obedience, but also when we're in the darkest times and in our struggles. As the disciples were struggling with unbelief, they thought Jesus was impossibly far away. They knew he was with them the last time they were struggling against a storm because he was sleeping in the boat, and they had to wake him up to calm the storm. But this time, he was far off, or so they thought. There are times when we struggle, and we know that Jesus is with us, but if we're honest, more often than not, we feel like he's forgotten about us, and he is distant. The truth, though, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, is that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will walk on water to come to us, because there is no amount of shame or sin so big that we will be separated from him. Vernon McGee wrote in his commentary on this miracle, "Jesus came to them in the storm, and that is the time he comes to his own today. He makes himself more real to us in a time of trouble and sorrow. I don't know why he waits until midnight, until the waves are rolling, but perhaps that is the only time we will listen to him. When the storms of life are beating upon our little bark, our hearts are ready for his presence." Then the difference. There's a remarkable difference between the story of Moses and the disciples. And the difference is that Jesus was willing to come near to them and near to us. He comes not only when we are faithful and obedient, but also when we are filled with unbelief and with doubt. In Exodus 33, God takes Moses and he hides him and he shields him and then passes by. And then he removes his hand and gives Moses the merest glimpse of God after he's passed by. God only showed Moses his back. This is what he said to Moses in Exodus 33. You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So God passed by and he revealed his divinity to Moses, but at a distance and only in part. But now, as Jesus walks on the water to his disciples, God reveals himself fully to his disciples. Jesus revealed his divinity by coming near to them. He walked on the water and proclaimed his name, I am. And then he got into the boat with them. No matter how hard life may be, or what you're struggling with, Jesus has walked on water for you. He has crossed that seemingly impossible barrier of sin and shame and rebellion that separates you from God. And not only that, but he has stepped into the boat with you. By his Spirit, he has stepped into your life with you. And this is what gives us such hope. Because if you are in Christ, he will not let you go. He will come to you. Our salvation is not dependent upon our ability to never doubt or struggle, but on his ability to come to us and then to go to the cross for us. God bless you.